And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast. And it is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is October 14, 2015. And this is Orly Benny Davis. And this is the Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to celebrate our Wednesday with Italian music that we love and some that you might like to be introduced to. And we're going to check what's going on in the European Union with, you know, the influence of Russian action in Syria. Of course, I'm going to touch base on what's going on in Jerusalem and how we're going to look back to this phase of history as the turning page, because whatever you have right now playing in the area, it's what's going to determine our next decade of work. Things are changing, of course, but are we going to go into the right direction? And maybe we are already on the right route for a better world. It depends, of course, on the leadership. It depends upon agreement and understanding. I understand that last night we had a democratic debate, which Mrs. Clinton seems to be winning by far. I think she's eloquent, she's smart, she knows what she's talking about, and she had those, you know, boots on the ground as far as experience. Of course, because she has such a close contact and understanding, and involvement, her mistakes are much more obvious than the others. You don't see the other mistakes because they're not really international players. But with her, you can feel it. She's a woman, you know, that made her dues in the world. And, of course, I like to see women. But that situation with Benghazi, it's not going to go away. And maybe after they clear it up, we can talk. But I don't know. Anyway, the Republican Party have a really great team that's running. And till we know the nomination, we don't really know who is going to take a stand and what is going to happen. But something is really clear. Whoever is going to be the next president of the USA will have to put in check all the other players in the international arena. And it takes some determination. And I will suggest that they start stating their position now so the world can act up and you can feel what the repercussion will be. To talk about what all the rest of the world is doing wrong and not saying what you are going to do, it's not helping. So I'm sure that, Jeb Bush does know what he's talking about. I don't know what Donald Trump is going to do. I have no clue except, you know, putting the walls or ever. And I don't remember him being a player in the international arena except doing some, you know, beauty pageant that he wanted to put in Jerusalem, which was odd in that time. I remember that he wanted to do that. Which actually it's against the status of holy city. You know, you don't bring a pageant here, even though that you have the pride parade. So maybe it wasn't such a bad idea. Anyway, whatever it is, we'll handle it once it comes. Anyway, we have the European Union is taking a really strong position on the Russian intervention in Syria. And I know that the Turks has so many things to say, but I found something that is really interesting to me, and I hope that you will like to listen to this. I know that it's out of that, you know, situation that we have on the ground in Israel, but it's something that we need to pay attention to. Let's listen to this.
On behalf of the EFDD, Mr. Farage.
I've been wondering why David Cameron's been slashing our armed forces, won't commit to 2%, is happy for us not to be able to defend our islands. I think Mr. Juncker's given us the answer. We're going to do it at an EU level. We're going to have a European army. Now, when I raised this last year with the Deputy Prime Minister, Liberal Democrat Nick Clegg, he said it was a dangerous fantasy to even talk about an EU army. I hope every Liberal Democrat voter has heard Mr Verhofstadt today, the leader of the European Liberals, crying out for militarisation at an EU level. Of course, the truth is, it's already happening. We already have a European Defence Agency. We already have EU battle groups on active service all over the world. We already have an EU Navy active against the Somali pirates. And who can forget Eurocorps here in Strasbourg last year, virtually goose-stepping that ghastly flag round the courtyard outside. And of course, the Lisbon Treaty, Article 28, provides for all of this. Tony Blair was right. He said the European Union is not a project about peace, it's a project about power. And I think Mr Juncker is trying to seize on an opportunity. We ourselves in the European Union provoked the conflict through our territorial expansionism in the Ukraine. We poked the Russian bear with a stick, and unsurprisingly, Putin reacted. But this now is to be used as an opportunity to build a European army. And when Mr. Verhofstadt, I know that by heckling you increase your hits on YouTube, because otherwise nobody in Europe wants to listen to you. And the President really ought to let me speak.
Just a moment, please. Just a moment.
Thank you.
Mr. Farage, just a moment, please. Just a moment, please. Just a moment. Mr. Verhofstadt, I turn to you. I have to ask you, please, to calm down. You may not like this speech, but we are Democrats and we listen to you too. So please do not interrupt.
Well, we certainly are Democrats, and we've never shouted you down, but you always try and shout us down. The point I was making is this. The opportunity is being seized, and Mr. Juncker said we must convey to Russia that we are serious. Who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Juncker? We do not want any part of an EU army, and I doubt the rest of the peoples of Europe do either. Thank you. Well, it's a bit of fun.
So, Herr Farage.
Thank you, Mr. Farage. You've exhausted your speaking time. We extended it even. Now, Mr. Verhofstadt, we've brought him back to reason. However,
ja gut, Vernunft ist immer eine Definition.
Well, reason is a question of definition, I suppose. But anyway,
ich glaube,
I'm not necessarily saying that you're the expert when it comes to defining reason, but what I can tell you is that I asked Mr. Verhofstadt to please listen to you. I hope he will continue to do so in the future. And to all of you, I would ask you also to make sure that you respect flags of whatever nature. Mr. Sulich, I believe you had a question. Is that right? So, to Mr. Farage, I take it? Is that right?
In fact, I would like to ask Mr. Farage, what do you think that we should have to do, Mr. Farage, when Russia, for example, is supporting with the most modern armaments, you know, the separatists? Do you, as an European Union, have to do something to support Ukraine, to fight in the eastern Ukraine, or do you think that we should have to wait to fight on the western Ukraine for the stability of Europe? Don't you think that we together, we have to send a clear message of solidarity and unity of the European Union considering this important subject? Thank you.
A speech. We, through our territorial ambitions, provoke the overthrow of an albeit corrupt but democratically elected leader in the Ukraine. We have provoked this crisis. Now, the question you ask is, what do we do from here? I was in this chamber at the time when Libya was attacked. I heard the Liberals and the Greens screaming, frothing at the mouth, for us to bomb Libya, for us to become militarily involved, because we believed that would make things better. My view, sir, is if you look at Afghanistan, if you look at Iraq, if you look at Libya, and you look at the attempt to back the rebels in Syria, many of whom have now morphed into ISIS, we see that our recent foreign military interventions have made things worse, not better.
Right. I guess we are back. It's not easy to understand what they are trying to convey. But the idea of a European military seems to me really something new to think about. But the most important thing, they admitted that they poked the Russian bear when they start messing with Ukraine. You see, that's what the idea was all about, to take Ukraine and, you know, to make it a part of the European Union, which Russia didn't want anybody from the European Union to be under her, you know, immediate threat or adjacent to our border. So the idea that the Russians started it all in Ukraine was wrong from the get-go, and now it's even clear that it was absolutely true that the European Union started to mess with Russia. Now they are threatening to have some kind of army. Now, it's not easy to think about Europe against Russia. It's not, nobody wants that, what they're talking about. But of course, it's a crazy idea that it's going to go away, I'm sure. I got some Italian music, and then we'll be back to some more sound bites. Let's listen to it. Wow, who can miss that Pavarotti with, you know, Conte, you know, with you, I'm going to travel. Well, where are you going to go? Okay, let's listen to our next spot, which talks about war news in the area. I'm putting focus on what the situation is here because I know that the grounds, you know, in Israel are trembling from some attacks, which are devastating because of the security of citizens are not, you know, not the same as usual because there are some Arab Israelis or Palestinian Israeli, whatever they want to call themselves, that they decided that they're going to rebel. They are young and reckless. And they were stabbing to death some people, and they were killing in the streets, which is horrible. And they, you know, and their faith is known because they, the people, you know, security will shoot them to kill them because you're not gonna threat the, you know, the security, and it's a law-abiding, you know, country. You don't go and try to riot in the middle. So they're doing everything in their power to minimize the effect, but many people, many families suffer from this round of incredible devastation. So I'll suggest that the talks will start because it's time to talk. I know that there are some people who want to initiate talks. I know that the people that live among the Israeli want to go back to their life as usual, and they will do so. But right now, let's get our attention back to what's important is that the turmoil in Europe and the Syrian with forces like Russia. You know, Israel can handle terrorism, you know, in the minute way, and I'm sure that the Israeli Arab will get their act together and control their youngsters. But we need to focus on what's going on in the north because we don't want it to go out of proportion. So let's listen to this.
The EU is calling on Russia to end its aerial bombing campaign in Syria. Foreign ministers have been meeting in Luxembourg, a warning that strikes designed to support President Bashar al-Assad could deepen the civil war, which has left around a quarter of a million people dead. The EU's foreign policy chief, Federica Mogherini, pointed to the role Russia could play in encouraging Syria to begin a political transition.
We, as European Union, can engage directly with Russia to see if a political transition can start, if a political process can start, guaranteeing that everybody sits around the table for defining the political process.
The EU's position on Assad is unclear. Ministers fail to agree among themselves whether he should have any role in ending the crisis. France says the president could only be involved in a transition in a symbolic way and mustn't be there at the end. Britain also wants to see Assad go.
All right. You have to understand that when Russia decided to attack, she did it very swiftly because the situation was getting out of control. Of course, there was some planning of coordination between the American forces and the Russian forces, but for some reason, the Americans are refusing to coordinate such efforts on any level at this point. Something that put the old scheme in odd, because there was kind of understanding. And they were, okay, let's say it. The difference between culture makes people understand different things. And every time we misunderstand each other, we might end up in massive war. And right now, we don't have the luxury, we don't have the patience, and we don't have the resources to go all-out war, and by all means, who needs it and why? And the fact that the Russian troops are responding to Syrian requests to help them, that by their definition, and they're going by the book, it means that nobody can complain. They are there, and they had already a base there. So the Americans are going back to start, you know, jumpstart the economy, which is good, but there is a coordination effort that needs to take place, and I don't understand, you know, the reluctance to do so, which gives us a very, very big concern at this point in time. Now, we have a situation where, you know, there is like a little spilling of the armaments or something going on as far as the Turks, because the Turks were blaming the Russians that they override their space. And today we had the Turks saying that the Americans are giving supplies to the Kurds, which in Syria, which is on the border. And if you think about the Kurds that battled with the Turks for so many years, you can understand that the Turks are finding themselves in the awkward position where they are against the Russian, against the Americans, and have some big resistance in end. And they are the crossroads from Syria to Europe or from Syria to Iraq, which put them in a very, very sensitive position, which would suggest that they will have to have a collaboration with everybody, not, you know, threatening anybody. So I don't know how this round will end there, but something I know for sure, that those terrorists will stop soon everywhere, because the big boys decided to stop it, to make it, to, you know, to call it quits. And before you know it, it's going to happen. And we can take care of the kids. As somebody said yesterday, or, you know, the kids will go to school, people will go back and will build their houses. There's going to be some kind of the day after. But the way that the Russians are doing, it seems like they are gaining some momentum to stop the... All right. And I guess I hear some music in my ears. I guess that it's time to put some music.
Chiudo gli occhi e penso a lei, il profumo dolce della pelle sua è una voce dentro che mi sta portando dove nasce il sole. Sole sono le parole, ma se vanno scritte tutto può cambiare, senza più timore te lo voglio urlare.
Wonderful. This is Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. You guys, I need to, you know, you need to forgive me because we are doing our best to give you the best. And sometimes there are other things happening. So just bear with us. This is the radio for the people, by the people. So those people, you know we are not perfect because we are human and we know that there is a God and it's not us. So, you know, whatever it is, here we are. We are natural human and we are doing our best. But something that I have to tell you, it's the absolutely truth, okay, that we are here. We tell you what we know. And what I tell you, what I know and what I understand. So I don't try to sell you anything. But, you know, by all means, if you guys want to get some airspace on my show, I'll be happy to sell you anytime. It will be really nice if we can have some sponsor for this show because we've been doing it for so long, running all the war in the Middle East, the accumulation of power, the resources and everything. And we need a sponsor. So anytime you guys, just remember it's on BBS Radio and it's Impossible Truth. And we have a Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday show. And every time it's what we know with our best of love, let's say. All right, guys. Do you know that the second annual Global Infrastructure Project is going to take place on October 28th to the 30th in Singapore? And it's financing investment engineering conference, which is something that you guys have to understand that all this devastation that took place, maybe we'll start putting some infrastructure in place, like in the Great Deal, you know, after the war that we're not going to have because we know much better. Now, there is other, of course, conferences that are taking place in Atlanta, Georgia, in November 3rd, which is antibiotic stewardship from metrics to management. It's about agriculture, farming, forestry, and healthcare. Remember, we are messing for years with those seeds, and we're engineering them, we're fixing it, and agriculture is suffering. So we don't know about the allergic reaction that people have, that the kids all of a sudden have so much allergy. We don't know what's going on in the farming, and we need to pay attention to this. And this is going to be in the Crown Plaza in Atlanta on November 3rd to the 5th of November next month. So I think it's worth your while, and there is a big event, you know, registration, the National Institute for Animal Agriculture, NIAA. So you can call there, and it's about, there is also information about antibiotic symposium, which is fascinating because this is the next stage on history. Remember, we come along all of humanity until this. Now we are replacing, we are fixing stuff. We're fixing whatever did not work in the last arrangement. It's working. It's going to work now. So we're going to create some kind of a plan, the blueprint for the next. And I'm so happy to be a part of this deal talking about, you know, the world. Because if you consider what's going on in the midst of the Middle East that they're playing, and thus, you know, the Palestinians are lost because they have no leadership. And somebody from Jordan told me today, oh, we need a new government in Israel, we need new government in Palestine authority, and we need new government in Gaza. I said, yeah, right, you know, and you change everything. It will be so easy if you can do that. No, you cannot change everything. We have a government, a sitting democratic government in Israel, and, you know, this is it. If the, you know, the state of Israel is after election, they're not going to change. So you have to deal with it. Then you're going to have another, maybe another election in the Palestinian Authority, which will be nice after 10 years. That's kind of a cool democratic nation, right? That you have once in 10 years, maybe, you know, because they didn't even talk about the election. And then in Gaza, they need to have some kind of arrangement. But with all the money that they were promised after the war, did they start rebuilding schools, housing, etc.? Or they're making more tunnels to attack Israel? Because it's, you know, they're psychotic by doing this whole tunnel. I remember the story about the guy from Albania, the prime minister, was it, or the president of Albania, that was so afraid that he built so many shelters on the beaches. If you would see that picture, it was astonishing how many shelters. So, guys, I don't know if the shelter in Albania still exists, but it was on the beaches, so there are so many refugees. Maybe, you know, they can take shelter over there. Anyway, guys, let's listen to another soundbite, and we'll be talking after that. All right, and we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. Oh, it's wonderful Wednesday with Italian music. The Italian music with Toto Cotugno, that was a memory that I cherish. So I'm sure that we're going to listen to him once more. Now, I want to mention something to you. The Fourth World World Pool Congress is going to take place in December 8th. To December 10th, 2015, in Netherlands, in the Crown Plaza, Den Haag, in Promenade. It's very important because it will provide a platform for World Border Protection Forces, an agency to discuss, debate, and the current and the future issues and challenges facing the border management. Remember, we all talking about borders. About, you know, illegal immigrants, the all different level of travel security and the advancement in technology that assist in the battle and maintaining safe and secure international travel. You guys have to understand that this is one of the most hot topics that we can have these days. So it's going to take place in the Netherlands, and I'm sure you all going to go, and whoever, you know, needs to be there will be there, as we say. Now, let's see if we could have some more spots that I collected for you as far as the news goes, all right? Let's listen.
Washington must not dictate how the EU builds ties with Russia, and that's according to the president of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker.
Man muss die Russen einfach, ich sage das mal so plump, anständig behandeln. Aber wir können uns unser Verhältnis nicht von Washington aus diktieren lassen, das geht nicht.
Well, RT's Laura Smith joins me now live for more explanation on this one. Well, Laura, what's behind this change of view then?
Well, it certainly looks like part of a general thawing. Last week, we saw the meeting of the Normandy Four in Paris, which ended on a positive note, discussions about Ukraine there. And now Juncker talks of this almost conscious uncoupling from Washington. How will it develop? Well, there's certainly a feeling that there was pressure on the European Union to place sanctions on Russia over Ukraine. And in fact, even the US itself admits it. Let's hear that.
It is true, they did not want to do that. But again, it was America's leadership and the President of the United States insisting, oftentimes almost having to embarrass Europe to stand up
and take economic hits to impose cost.
Well, we now know that those sanctions have proven to be bad for both parties, bad for the Russian economy, obviously, but also for individual EU member states, which have both lost trade as a result of the sanctions and as a result of Russia's counter-sanctions. So this really marks a turning point in attitude, at least. Let's hear something else that Jean-Claude Juncker said.
Und deshalb muss man sich ein korrekteres Verhältnis zu Russland bemühen. Das ist nicht sehr sexy, aber das muss sein. Wir können so nicht weitermachen.
So it's necessary, says Juncker. Now, these sanctions on Russia are up for renewal towards the end of the year. The question is, could this rapprochement mean a rethink?
All right. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis. This is the quarter to the hour, and we are on Wednesday. We're not going to have more news until from me until Sunday, which will let you have some time off between my information and yours, and of course what's going to happen on the ground. So the question is, what is going on? What is this standoff with the American, the standoff with Russia? Of the EU. The EU is actually calling for independence. This is a call for independence from all pressure points from, Washington or Moscow, which I respect. And I'm sure that, the balance of power is divided in three. I was thinking that, China is taking some stand, but more and more I can see that the European Union is like the triangle of power that we have in the world these days. And so be it. So be it. Sometimes this can be all one, and sometimes you need people to take care of business because they manage a lot of people right now. Russia is managing something else, and the Americans are managing the rest of the goodies, I guess. I don't know. I don't think that control, I'm not a control freak per se, so I don't know if it's important to be, in charge and do bad, or it's better to have a team that you can do better, because if you want to go to the next level and make a good job, so maybe you need to divide your forces and take care of business. That's what's important, because we want to be better at the end of the day. Now, I don't know what conferences, you are looking into, but in the international arena, there are a lot of events, and everybody can do his share in the free world. You cannot go and say, I don't care. You cannot say that you're not a part of it. It's all about importance. There's, tons of education conferences. There is like finance and investment. There are tons of those. You have conferences, trade, of all over. Of course, you have pharmaceutical, and they have. I'm trying to see the focus. What is happening really? What's the major league? Conferences that are happening, but it's in the banking and and trade, I guess. Let's hope that they all bring some prosperity, because we all pray for that, and we pray for some stable arrangement with the Israeli ground. And I hope that those rooms that play the puppets from long distance, that the one that hides in Qatar, will come to terms with their action. And, it's really hard to have, a hardcore criminal that run away from the Israeli justice, hide in the Qatari. And I know that it will be no time before we connect the dots and we can figure out who's doing it. Trust the Israelis to do their share of the job. And as you see, they are incredible, in their security level. So I'm sure that they're going to go and find out who is responsible for that. And we have some ideas and we have some talks. And, of course, those member of the government that decided to call themselves Palestinian, which bring them to be disloyal to the Israeli government or, you know, country or the state of Israel. Because when you are a member of the government, you need to be a part of, you know, you swear to loyalty, right? Once you are calling to destroy it, it's not just act of treason. It's really, really a horrible act against human, you know, because what are you calling? You're calling to destruction. It means that you're calling for worse. It's not like treason of information. It's treason of, and, you know, information is free, so everybody gets it, but we're talking about the action. You're calling to action to destroy a state, and you're a member of the government. I'm sure that all those people got a grip of what they're doing, and somebody called to their attention that they might be acting out of the realm of the law, and they can be prosecuted. And, of course, I know that they have a lot of crowd, and the BBC, remember, we are, the radio network is on BBS radio, but the BBC from England is giving a lot of ground to the, unbelievable stage to the lies and rhetoric that come from the people, Palestinian, so-called Palestinian people, because one day the Israeli citizens that want to have freedom and rights, common rights, of course they don't serve in the army and they have no national services that they that everybody has to go through, but they, of course they have all the rights, so they go to Social Security. But once they decided that, you know, life is tough, they decide to, or somebody pays them money to act up, they become Palestinian. All of a sudden, those Palestinians are iron gun. That's what I think. And I told you guys what I think about them, that they're terrorists undercover, and that's what they're doing. And in, for some reason, in London, tomorrow, you guys are going to have a lot of demonstration, a lot of work to do tomorrow, because the Palestinian facet of Hamas, you know, those goody-two-shoes terrorist organization that took control of million people and nobody does anything about it in Gaza, are going to have a demonstration in London. No, BBS radio here is to tell you about that. But just remember, BBC in London is the one that provides the stage. And what they're saying, they call about, you know, Palestinian occupied land. Just remember, English people, remember, which I, you know, guys, well, let's say I love the royal family and all its members. I respect the government of you know, 1917, gave the Balfour Declaration a stand. And then they understood very well, and King George, God bless his soul, remember, was really, really secure about what needs to be done to give a house to the Jewish people, you know, from all around. I mean, it was before the Holocaust. And then the British got the mandate to Palestine, to the land of Palestine from, you know, they got it from, they took over the Turks. They gave it to the English. The English were supposed to create a national home for the Jewish people. Now, where is Palestine? Oh, the Palestine is the land. They call themselves, yeah, the sticker. Okay. If you, I don't know what to say to you guys. It's a mess that the world created and then the world needs to fix. Because the Bible is the Bible. And when they talk about Muslim have, you know, 1 billion people, I say the Christian have 1 billion too. So just remember that. And the fact that the Jewish people are little, it doesn't mean that we are not important. Here you go. You have 3 major religions who needs to get along. So get a grip of that. Go on with your life. Keep on going. So remember, we have to work together to create some better understanding. But the Holy City of Jerusalem needs to have it's a custodian. And we know, everybody knows, that whoever the custodian is, it will be by God's choice. So it will not be by power or force. It won't be by money. It won't be by colors. It won't be by race. It won't be by religion. It won't be. It will be whoever is worthy among us before God. Now, if we are worthy, we will have it. That's it is. This is the basic humanitarian need that we all have to understand. We need to be worthy of the soul God gave us. And I know that I speak about God constantly because I love him so much. And I know that, you know, the presence of God in Jerusalem is so holy. And I'm frustrated with all the events that create some tension and killing on the ground. The holy city of Jerusalem needs to have no whatsoever, no killing, no, it needs to be holy. Rather, the man needs to come and shine from there. All right? So I know that you guys have a hard time understanding, but when we say about, you know, peaceful means that I accept you and you accept me and we accept the other and we accept the world as it is because it was a creation that we didn't create, we're not responsible. And there is one saying that, you know, that I like always, it's not for us to start the job creating the world, it's not for us to finish the state of the world, but we have to keep it going. It's maintenance, it's like a vehicle that we have in space that we need to keep on maintaining it. And just remember, it's all energy. Just stop thinking about the boundaries of the color. Everybody has his own flag. So what? It's like a t-shirt. Whatever t-shirt you want to wear, just wear it. Don't worry about so many things. I don't know what you guys are afraid from the Judaism because you didn't see it in action for 2,000 years. It's only praying. People are dressed up funny in the Jewish faith sometimes. They're dressed in all kind of sort of things that I don't know where they come from. And some people will ask it, but it doesn't matter. That's the way they want. That's their freedom. It's like I pray to God and I want to pray to him so hard. And that's the way I want to do it. And that's where I found my comfort. All right? So you pray to God your way. I pray to my God my way. And we all share this time in the universe. And you guys, the people in control, to have all the buttons, be careful. Just pay attention. All right? So this is it for today. It was a pleasure as usual. I love you all. God bless you all. Be strong. Be happy. Be wonderful. Be worthy of the soul that God gave you. All right? And we'll talk on Sunday, early 7 a.m. Western Coast. All right? God bless you. Ciao, ciao. Be well. Bye-bye.
L'estate tutto l'anno e all'improvviso eccola qua. Ehi, è partita per le spiagge e sono solo qua su in città. Sento fischiare sopra i tetti un'aria.